Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Maureen Harvey, in for Sheila Cast. Here's a Stoop story from Devin Morris about how his childhood daydreams gave way to a career.
I had many friends growing up and a lot of people to play with, but I like to play by myself. I grew up in between two houses. My home, which was situated in many neighborhoods in the west side of Baltimore, and then my grandparents' home, which was in the northwest part of Baltimore in the Upper Park Heights neighborhood. At my grandparents' house, I would go, and two of my cousins, Megan and Brooke, had a room there, and they had all their toys, well, at least a representation of their toys there. So I would always play in Megan and Brooke's room. I would take everything in like a line, you know, the Barbies up and the Malibu car and whatever else was the idea of the moment that, you know, we assumed those toys. I would create a world and I would play in that world until Brooke would come and want to play and then would cry when I would tell her I don't want to play. And at home, I had my brother, Nicholas, my sister, Nicole, and plenty of friends and family. And it was a very robust household. It was always somebody there to talk with or speak with or play with. But I loved the moments, especially in the summers when I would play by myself in my room. And on my TV stand, I might fashion a house for my dolls, even though I had a house in the basement. But if I played in the basement, I was doing bad stuff, so it was like, whatever. So I played in my room sometimes at night when it wasn't so scary. And I would make a slide for the dolls on my out of cardboard boxes on my TV stand. And then I might make a parking garage out of, again, cardboard boxes, and like just make anything, and like I was like, this is my world, and so I would, you know, play with them. And then in school, I would imagine many different interactions happening in my house. Like when I walked down my stairs, I would see the wall. I walked down the stair, and then the wall would give out, and it was this tropical land. And that was like my daydream from about first to third grade, and it was amazing. I was like, oh, I'm tapping in. I'm in it. I'm in the world. And at school, I would create all these environments that, and all these interactions in my head of what was happening there. And I did really well. I loved school. I loved what I learned up until I didn't. And that was, and then I got really selective. So in high school, I went to Baltimore Polytechnic Institute, which is and I studied engineering there, and it was amazing. I worked with my hands. I was so like I was into it. I was confused by it too because I didn't know any of these things. I didn't know that math could like help you see so much. But I really enjoyed it until my senior year, and I knew I didn't need many of the classes I was taking. I knew I only needed English. So I went to English, and I was cut all my other classes. No 3D CAD today, no building a bridge, no anything. And I had teachers who would let me sit in their classrooms, and they would support me, and they would make defenses for me and say, Devin's depressed, Devin doesn't want to, there's no art here, there's no music, he can't do anything. And I'm like, okay, I don't think that's true. I was just depressed. And so then I went to college, kind of breezed through college, didn't really enjoy it, so I left. When I left, in college, I studied fashion merchandising and journalism. So I leave college, I'm in a world of creativity and creative friends and creative ideas, and we're working on an online magazine, and one friend's launching a blog, and this friend works in zines, and people were doing music. It was so many different ways that we were just like robustly communicating creatively. So I was a stylist and I did things, but I was finding myself to be, like, I thought that there wasn't an audience for me. So I had a friend, Abdul Ali, who was here tonight, and he would keep telling me, he's like, you need to do something, you need to do something. I'm like, I don't know what I need to do, and I don't know who would even be into what I'm doing because I don't know what to do. So I left again. I then moved to New York. And so I go to New York and I start working in fashion, and I'm a buyer and I work in luxury women's wear, and I'm doing things that all of the people in school who I thought were crazy for paying attention, I was doing that job now. And I didn't, it was great. I'm an adult now. I'm hosting talks at my house, and you know, I'm being more creative like within an industry, but I'm realizing that this industry doesn't really champion creativity. It kind of champions like looking at a document and redoing it, or kind of healing someone's wounds through putting a dress on them. So I was like, this isn't for me anymore. But I continued to work on, and I started to notice that my friend was making zines, and he kept releasing these zines, and I was like, what is a zine? Do I care? And after about a few releases, I started to notice that it was like, okay, these folded pieces of paper, it's like my little book. I can create it. I can write in it. I can reassume what an image is. At this time, blogs were popular, and I was very bogged down with how images and blogs were overpopulated, oversaturated, reshared. It just felt so weird to me. And I hated collages at that time, too, because I was like, what is this? Why do people keep using old images to make nothing? So I now have this kind of beacon of hope. I can make imagery. I can collage the imagery I make. I'll take photos to make these things. I can invite people to be a part of this world. Now I have a world, so I made a zine. After I make the zine, I'm starting to get invited to like the zine world, publishing, there's self-publishing, there's all these words. I'm like, am I a publisher? Do I provide a platform? I guess. All these like questions and answers, questions I didn't know I had needed answers to were being answered. One day, a friend invited me to a party at their house, and they were having a tarot reading person come from LA or something. I was like, oh, this is dope. You know, I want to get read. It's the summer. It's about that time. I'm feeling like, you know, antsy. I want to know like what's new, but what's not new, because tarot really doesn't tell you anything, but it feels right. And so I was like, cool, I want to know. Let me know what it is. So I go to the reading, and the lady, anybody familiar with tarot, like, you know, it's like a whole process, and it can get very elaborate, very, like, beautiful. But this lady pulls out three cards. She, like, taps them, says a little thing, and then puts the cards away. I was like, I want to talk to you about something. And I'm like, this isn't how tarot goes. So she's like, you know, I think you're going to go on this residency, and gave me the residency information. I was like, I just came back. It's what you need. It's going to change your life. I go on the residency. It's in Brazil. Crowdsource, people support me. They get me to Brazil. The first night I'm presenting work, I'm like, I'm not an artist. I don't know what you are. I know what you like to do. Cool. But I only take photos to make collages to put in this book. And I write for my book. I'm not an artist. I just publish things. And so throughout that process of being at the residency, all of the artists at some point came up to me and wanted to speak to me about why I thought I wasn't an artist. And it was beautiful to hear, because they thought I was an artist, so they kept telling me I'm an artist. And I'm like, huh, that's cute. No. I'm going to go to my studio now and do some work. So so then it was really fun. I loved it. I was like, okay, cool, whatever. So then this one guy, one day I'm leaving my studio. It's in a horse stable. The angry horse is in the stable with us. That's the stable we got. It was a lovely, angry little horse. And I'm leaving, and he's like, hey, Devin, you know, I want to talk to you about, you know, what you said that night. I'm like, oh, we're kind of deep into the residency. We should be over this. So he's like, you know, instead of him telling me I was an artist, he started to tell me why he was an artist and how he saw it. And he said, you know, some days I wake up and I'm an artist because I want to, you know, approach love in some way. Or I wake up and I'm an artist because I want to access, like, you know, how to use a color. Or I want to research. Or I'm an artist because I need to make art. And that's when it landed for me. And I was like, oh, being an artist is not about the word artist. It's about doing your work. And so from that day, I decided I'm going to do my work. And now I have a solo show downtown if you want to go see it at Tarot Gallery. And I'm an artist. And as well, I provide platforms for my friends and myself to proliferate our work, especially Black and POC artists. So, yeah. Thank you.
That was a Stoop Story from Devin Morris about finding confidence as an artist. We have more information about the Stoop Storytelling Series, including upcoming live events and the Stoop podcast, at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. The next Stoop show is May 8th at Whitehall Mill. Storytellers will share tales about motherhood and about the complexities, challenges, and enduring significance of our relationships with our mothers. I'm Maureen Harvey, in for Sheila Cast. Glad you're with us on the record. Hope your weekend is delightful.